Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Friday afternoon. We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass. He's from Agrible. Eric, thanks for being with us. We have a lot to cover today. Let's start with the Eastern Corn Belt and maybe the southeastern part of the United States. Are we looking to get rainfall?
Yeah, quite a bit, actually. You know, we've been talking about, we've had a couple of pulses of quite a bit of moisture coming out of the Caribbean, Gulf of Mexico, hitting the southeast, and they need it, honestly. You know, even in the latest drought monitored update, they still have a couple of areas down there that are kind of sitting in stage one, stage two of drought. And I was just in South Carolina, and I can verify there's some drier spots down there, but that's all going to disappear. We now have what's called Subtropical Storm Alberto that's formed. And this is a system that formed in what we call a Caribbean gyre. It's not going to be, a massive hurricane, tropical storm, something causing lots of damage. It's just an abundant amount of moisture coming out of this little tropical wave. And it's going to basically run up to through the southeastern coast and move toward, eventually toward the Carolinas. But it's definitely going to dump quite a bit of rain. We're going to see rainfall totals between 3 and 6+ inches out of this thing as it finally moves onshore. And this will be something we'll watch after Memorial Day. But this is not unusual. We have these things. This isn't even really an indicator on what the hurricane season is going to look like. It's just a normal feature that we have to watch out this time of year. So they need that rain. It's going to come through. And honestly, I like the fact that we're going to be moistening up a lot of the soil south and east of us, because that's sometimes a trajectory for our moisture later on in the season. So that's the thing we're watching out in the next 48 hours. Well, we have that, and we also have a chance for some storms as this upper level little short-wave trough tries to move through parts of the Eastern Corn Belt. So getting into parts of Illinois and Indiana, maybe around race time on Sunday at the 500, we might be seeing some of that. But I'll tell you, until then, we're going to get hot and we are going to get humid. It's going to feel like summer around here for several days.
On that note, it seems like we're kind of in a tough spot. The crops look good, but they sure would like a better drink of water. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, over the last 3 days, I'm looking at a map here that shows the last 3 days of precipitation. And one thing is that Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, Michigan, we've been the spot that's been missed, as has parts of Iowa. But it's been quite stormy, basically from Texas right up the gut of the country up to North Dakota. So basically, we've got an open gulf, which means there's tons of moisture. We don't have any big organized weather systems, which means we're watching these subtle little boundaries to produce precipitation, and they're hard to forecast. Well, the thing is that moves toward us, and I'll be honest, I am really, really hoping that we get these thunderstorms, over the next couple of days. But as I'm kind of staring at the current model run here, it's another one of these days where it's hit or miss. It's not everybody gets a drink. It's going to be hit or miss. But at least we're going to be hot enough and humid enough that when the little boundaries come through, the atmosphere will pop and we'll get some, we'll get some heavy rain, some stronger winds, maybe a little bit of hail mixed in. So we have to be on the lookout for those things at least in the short term. I'll tell you, as soon as this system kind of tries to get through here today, tomorrow, and Sunday, we are building a big ridge in the middle part of the country, expecting triple-digit heat all the way as far south, down into Texas, Oklahoma. And this is going to hang around through the first couple of days of June. It's going to get hot. And a big question is, when that ridge sets up like that, where does it tend to move? And right now, the long-range European model moves it back west. And we'd love to see that happen all summer long. If you want to grow big yields here, get that ridge as far west as we can possibly get it. We get those ridge-riding storms. We don't have the heat, and we make massive yields. So I'm going to have to watch this one carefully, because it's going to start off June with a scorcher and then possibly retreat west with time, which would be good for us.
Is that the same setup, the oscillation of the ridge we talked about last summer, all summer long, too?
It really was. I'm seeing a lot of similarities. Last June was a hot June. Remember that? And then by the time July got here, we had a couple of time periods of some heat, but then really the ridge retreated to the west. So I think it's a good thing that at least in the next, let's call it the next 7 to 10 days, that we are forecasting quite a bit of precipitation in the Dakotas, specifically North Dakota. Because you remember last year, because of the way that ridge retreated west, it was Montana, North and South Dakota that dipped into some serious drought, all the way to the fourth stage of drought. But right now, Montana's wet. And we're looking at some rain in the Dakotas.
What about other areas around the world? The second largest corn crop is actually grown in China.
Exactly. And what we've been kind of watching recently in China is things have been kind of drying out in what we call the Manchurian region. So this is north of the Korean Peninsula. So it's kind of, west of Beijing, and the north of Beijing is where they have most of their major productive areas. And just looking over the last 30 days or so, they've built in a drier bias. And that dry bias that they've built in, it looks very similar to the dry bias we've seen building into parts of Canada. So if you want to benchmark it against something, that's what we're kind of looking at there. So this isn't devastating, but it's something I got to watch because, you know, everybody that's planted a crop here in May needs that drink. And so we've seen a couple of systems move through there, but nothing big and organized to really soak them and get that crop a good drink. But you're right, that is the second most productive part in the world in terms of corn production.
Since you mentioned Manchuria, a unique ag fact, A. East Daly out of Decatur early in the last century asked Congress to put a tariff on temporarily incoming, I don't know whether it was soybeans or just soybean oil, in order to create a market for soybeans in central Illinois, because up until that time they were grown only as a legume and for hay. And then he contracted with farmers for the end, so he could for the end product, the bean, so he could press it into oil. Now, one last final tidbit. We need to check in on corn in Brazil.
Yeah, that's right. And so we know we've been talking for the last 30 days or so that things have been pretty dry in Brazil. You know, they're running out of the monsoon. The monsoon is ending. This is the dry season as it moves in. So, you know, we keep hearing of lowering of the estimates of the crop totals down there. And basically for the next 15 days or so, I just looked at the latest run from the ECMWF, the European model, and it just continues on with that drier pattern. So I think we're going to, you know, I don't think anything's going to be coming through that's going to just kind of save the day with the crop that's going on in Brazil.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible.